بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العلي العظيم.
First of all, in the name of God, the compassionate and the merciful, I'd like to thank the professors and the scholars for their presence in this scientific meeting. I'm also very grateful to Dr. Sultani for his presentation and Mr. Dr. Alizadeh for his scientific management. As you know, the topic of the discussion is the early Arab conquerors' religion. In fact, it is an evaluation of Nebu and Koran's viewpoints on Syriac sources, certainly through the book of Crossroads to Islam, an analysis of the book. I request Mr. Dr. Sultani to present his critical analysis.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to talk about my last research on Islamic history. Early Arab conquerors' religion is an issue of exploration among Orientalists. We have two different approaches to Islamic history. I mean the narrative of Muslim historians about the early period of Islam. The traditionalists think that the major theme of Islamic history is reflected in the narratives of Muslim historians. So we can refer to them and reconsider the development of Islam and the origin of Islam, especially the origin of Islam. Others think that these Muslim narratives are not authentic because of many problems, as Vanceboro has coined it. The term sectarian milieu has produced this kind of sources and this kind of narratives regarding the early history of Islam, so we cannot rely on this kind of sources, and we should reconstruct the early history of Islam according to other sources. Among revisionists, John Vanceboro is the most famous one in his book The Sectarian Milieu, and also Hegerism, written by Crone and Cook, is the other famous works. After these two, we reach to the book of Yehuda Nebo and Yehudit Koren, which is Crossroads to Islam, the Origins of the Arab Religion and the Arab State. We will talk about this book in this session. The main parts of the theory of Nebo and Koren in this book are the religion of the Arab conquerors, whether they were Muslims from the very beginning of conquest or not. The character of the Prophet of Islam, whether it is a character of history or a character of myth, and also the holy text, holy book of Islam, the Holy Quran, whether it is written from the very beginning of the Islam or it is compiled later from the different sources. In this session, we will focus on the first part of Nevan Koren's viewpoint, which is the religion of Arab conquerors. Nevan Koren, as other revisionists, think that we should not rely on Islamic sources. So they have two other type of sources to refer. The first one is narratives of non-Muslims, especially Christians, who were around the Arabian Peninsula in the time of Islam, in the time of the emergence of Islam. Almost all around the peninsula, we can see inhabitants of Christians, especially Syria Christianity was among there very famous and very popular. The second type of sources are non-narrative or non-textual sources, which are archaeological findings, including coins, inscriptions, rock inscriptions, and also graffitis. In this session, we will talk about Syriac sources and Syriac evidences used by Nevo and Koren to reevaluate the early history of Islam. To talk about this theory, we have four different types of sources to use. The first one is the very book of the Crossroads to Islam, and there are, I think, six book reviews written about this book. They are all actually very short introductions of this book. The second kind of sources we can use are other Western books written about the origin of Islam based on Syriac sources, like Hegirism, as it is a very well-known book in this regard. The third type of sources I have used are different kind of books and articles regarding the life of Christian, Syriac Christians in the time of Islam. And the most important type of sources was the endeavor of some Orientalists who tried to gather and compile and translate different manuscripts and different Syriac sources regarding the early history of Islam. You can see the list of these sources. I have written them because they are very important sources for Syriac evidences about the early history of Islam. The first one and the most famous one is the work of Robert Hoyland, Seeing Islam as Other Sight, which Syriac sources is just a part of this book. The other is Witnesses to a World Crisis. Andrew Palmer's The 7th Century in the West Syrian Chronicles, The Encounter of Eastern Christianity with Early Islam, and two famous works of Michael Philip Penn about Syriac texts. The first one is When Christians First Met Muslims, published in 215. It is almost the most complete Syriac compilation or compilation of Syriac texts of early Islam, and Envisioning Islam, published in the same year. Chronicle of Khuzestan is another Syriac source, and as I know, it is the only translated to Persian among the Syriac sources. So in Persian, we just have this book. I am finishing the translation of the first book of Michael Philippen, when Christians first met Muslims, inshallah, soon will be published. Let's go through the theory of Nebo and Koren. Nebo and Koren first talk about the religious background of Arabs in the peninsula. They believe, according to the evidence of inscriptions, mostly inscriptions are used in this part, they, as they gathered the evidences, they showed that until the 6th century, we can see some pagan inscriptions in this region. After the 6th century, we don't see any pagan inscriptions, and especially between 40 and 60 after Hijra, we can find some monotheistic, or let's say indefinite, basic monotheistic inscriptions, which don't refer to Islam, especially and the Prophet of Islam or the Book of Islam. So they analyzed these evidences and said that in this time, Arabs abandoned paganism and tried to adopt a kind of basic monotheism. As you know, this is the time of Muawiyah. They believe that Muawiyah is the first historical character which was the first ruler of Arabs in this region. And Arabs didn't have any special state for themselves in this region. They were federati of Byzantium in that time. We can find Muhammadan inscriptions, which are inscriptions including some reference to the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his progeny, after 112. And after 160, we can find Islamic inscriptions. So they believe that the emergence of Islam is in this time. Before this time, we don't have any special reference to Islam, and Islam was just a basic monotheism, which later developed and became Islam as we know it today. The second part of the theory talks about paganism among Arab conquerors. There are some Syriac texts which witness to the paganism of Arabs at the time of conquest. The first one is the Life of Maximus the Confessor, which talks about the company of heresy and paganism. It says that heresy is used to be accompanied with paganism, and it talks about Arabs as pagans. As we will talk about later in detail, the word for paganism and pagans is Hanpi in Syriac, so this word is used in this text to refer to Arab conquerors. The second text is the letter of Yeshu Yahab III. He also called Arabs as Hanpis, or Hanpi. Hanpi is plural, and the singular form is Hanpa. Athanasius II also talks about some special things which is prohibited for Christians to marry pagans, for example. And by pagans, according to Nebo and Koren, he means Arabs, Arab conquerors. As you can see, from 64 to 67, Athanasius was in authority. So this is the time of almost the time of the beginning of the government of Abdul Malik. And the last Syriac evidence is the text of the Nestorian Council held in 56. It also talks about Arabs and refer to Arabs as pagans. Nebo and Koren go further and talk about some monotheistic, especially basic indeterminate monotheism among Arabs in the 7th century and in the 8th century based on Syriac sources. There is a gathering between Church Fathers and Heraclius, as it is written in Ibn Ibri. He talks about the conquerors and the victory of them because of putting aside worshipping idols and just talk about this gathering and the text regarding this gathering do not talk about any special character of Muslim identity or Muslim beliefs, just say about putting aside worshipping idols. So we are confronted with a kind of basic monotheism in this time, according to Nebo and Kore. The other text is the letter of Muawiyah to Constantine, as it is written in Sevius' history. And it talks about the invitation by Muawiyah for Constantine to become the follower of the religion of Abraham and the God of Abraham. It doesn't talk about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, or about the Quran or other special characters of Islam. The other text is actually a book attributed to Methodius, and it also talks about the religion of Arabs without any special Muslim character. The letter of Jacob of Edessa talks about Arabs as people believing in Jesus Christ, but not as the promised, just as the promised prophet, but not as God. And the last one is the conversation between John and Amir. It is actually happened around 23 after Hijrah. And in this conversation, when you read the text, you think that Amir, which was an Arab government, does not have any special knowledge about Islam or the Quran, and do not invite others, especially John, to become a Muslim. So according to this evidences, Nebo and Koren believe that the 7th and 8th century, Arabs adopted a kind of just basic indeterminate monotheism, which was not Christianity, neither Judaism, neither Islam. To evaluate the theory, we don't go through the archaeological evidences because it has a lot of details. Inshallah, in another session we can talk about it. But referring to Syriac texts, we can say that Nebo and Koren just have two arguments. The first argument is that Arabs are called Hanpi in the Syriac text. As you know, these Syriac texts are important because they are contemporary with the with the history they talk about it. So in that time, in the very time of conquest, Christians called Arab conquerors Hanpi. So Nebo and Koren believe that they were real Hanpis or pagans. The second argument is the silence of Syriac text regarding the religion of Islam. So these two important arguments of Nebo and Koren should be evaluated and discussed in this session. As I have mentioned earlier, Hanafi is used in four Syriac texts. The first one is the life of Maximus the Confessor. The second one is the letter of Yeshua. The third one is of Athanasius the second, and the fourth one is the text of the Nestorian Council. Regarding the first evidence, it's very interesting to know that the term Hanafi is also used in that time to refer to other monotheists. For example, other Christian denominations are called Hanafi, while we know that they are actually monotheists according to Christians, at least. So when they call other Christians Hanafi or other followers of monotheistic faith as Hanafi, we can infer and conclude that Hanafi has a polemic usage here. And we cannot say that the real meaning, the first real meaning of this term is used to refer to Arab conquerors. And it is interesting that this term, even after the time of Abdul Malik, and even after the time of Walid, is used to refer to Arabs. While Nevo and Koren believe that in the time of Abdul Malik and Walid, Islam was a famous religion. Islam as a monotheistic religion was known by Christians, by Syriac Christians. So even after that time, they called Arabs Hanafi. So we can be sure that by Hanafi, they didn't mean that they don't believe in God at all. They meant that Arabs were not of true Christian faith. So they called them Hanafi. It's a polemic usage. And the other interesting point that Nevo and Koren didn't realize or ignored is that in the very text of the life of Maximus, we see that Hanafi is used in front of Tayyai. Tayyai is another Syriac word, especially for Arabs. So when they use this term Hanafi in front of Tayyai, we can conclude that Hanafi are some people other than Tayyai. You refer to text, it's very evident that Hanafis are not Tayyai. So when Tayyai are Arabs, Hanafi are not Arabs. Maximus is talking about other Hanafis, other groups. The same problem is in the second evidence of Nevo and Koren. The letter of Yeshu'yahab is also talks about pagans, but it doesn't talk about Arabs as pagans. It talks about the previous pagans before coming of Arabs in this territory. And also in Athanasius, we can see the same problem, and also in the Council of Nestorian Council in 56. These are the most important problems in their reference to Christian text regarding the term Hanafi. The second argument was that Christian sources which were contemporary to the conquests talk about Arab conquerors but don't talk about their religion as Islam or their holy book as Quran or their prophet as Prophet of Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The problem here is that they expected that in every text, every Syriac text, which talks about Arabs, there should be some references to Islam. But we know it is not necessary. There are some incidents that they talk about Arabs just for their politics or these kind of issues. It is not expected that In every Christian text, we see some references to Islam or all Islamic beliefs system. There is a text which is a conversation between John and Amir. In this text especially, we can say that the topic of conversation was law. When you read the text, they are talking about law, because it was a problem in the first decades of conquest that whether in the inhabitants of the conquered territory should observe their own law, whether they have this kind of system to observe that, or they should observe Islamic law. So the topic of this conversation was law. It is also interesting that this text belonged to the 8th century, and Nebo and Koren believe that at the 8th century Islam was emerged. So it is not consistent with their theory. The polemic usage of this conversation and the apologetic identity of this text is another problem. So these texts are written by Christians, and we don't expect Christians to talk about Islam clearly and definitely and completely. So we cannot refer to this kind of text and say Islam was not such in that time. And at the last, I should mention that this conversation was between just two persons, just John and Amir was talking together. So even if Amir has not special knowledge about Islam, we cannot generalize this problem and say nobody in the Arab conquerors know about Islam in that time. And also, we can see some other Syriac texts dating to the before Abdul Malik's Islamic and Arabic Reformation, that in this text we can see some special references to Islam. I just mentioned some for examples. We can see in the account of 637 some references to the Prophet. In the Chronicle 640, in the Chronicle of Khuzestan, in the Maronite Chronicle, these are some Syriac texts that Nebo and Koren ignored. They didn't refer to this text and even didn't mention that in this text we can find some references to Islamic beliefs, to Islamic law. For example, in the Chronicle of Khuzestan, we see that Kaaba is mentioned, Medina is mentioned. In the Maronite Chronicle, we see a reference to the prayer of Muawiyah in Jerusalem and the martyrdom of Imam Ali in the prayer. So in this kind of references to Islamic beliefs and to Islamic law is clear in other texts that Nebo and Koren did not mention. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dr. Sultani. Very, very good lecture and useful for nowadays, especially in some countries in Africa. For example, Nigeria, they ask about this topic, this issue, that what means it, what's the meaning of this book. Is this book is published in Nigeria, I think, that is very necessary to clarify the basis of Islamic sciences. But I would like to summarize the discussion of our brother Dr. Sultani One of the most important, I think, views of revisionist Orientalists is the gradual formation of Islam from a primitive monotheistic religion that emerged in the form of Islam during the Umayyad period. Before Umayyad and after Umayyad, it's the problem, and it must be clarified. In the book Crossroads to Islam, the basic of Arab religion and their government, as know Nebu and Koran, they have given their special explanation from the point of view based on archaeological evidence and Syriac texts of early Islam. And Nebu and Koran's view about the origin of the Quran is not based on the scientific method of using Syriac text related to the first period of the formation of Islam, and provides an incorrect explanation of this text, relying on the proof of silence, as you said, and ignoring of the proof of massiveness, relying on the proof of silence and not paying attention to non-narrative proofs, such as the old versions of the Quran and the proof of massiveness, as I said, ignoring the gradual process of Syriac familiarity with Islam and the polemical nature of some Syriac texts, and misunderstanding of this text can be considered as one of the most important problems in references to the Syriac text. Therefore, not only the early Syriac texts of Islam do not speak of the gradual emergence of the Holy Quran, rather than can be considered in line with the traditional Islamic views. What would you like? I don't know now, but if you have any question, you can ask the questions, and instead Dr. Sultani at your services center.
Should I say one by one or?
One by one.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Syriac text, we don't have any special reference to Shiism. Because maybe conquerors were mostly of the followers of Khulafa, and so they know them as Muslims. Just Imam Ali is mentioned, and in some chronicles, even Imam Ali is ignored because his government was very short and not stable. We are talking about the early decades of conquests. So in that decade, it is claimed that conquerors were not Muslims, they were pagans.
The other question?
Let me start, then after the other brothers will be. Okay. Thank you, Brother Dr. Sultani, for your informative and very good presentation. I take 1 minute from your presentation. My question is that you said that two arguments that Nebu and Koran gives us for showing that the conquerors of the early Islam are not Muslim. The first one is the word and the term Hanafi or Hanpi. And the second one is the silence of sources. I want to know, did you find some other sources in which you can find the explicit indicate that the we can say the early Muslims, early conquerors are Muslim? I want to know, did you find and did you search in the Syriac sources for finding the to finding the Islam and the Quran or not? Because when we want to criticize a view, first of all we criticize the arguments and this thing, and after that we should find another way and another argument which is better than the argument than the that the Nebo and Quran gives us. Did you find something in this regard?
As I mentioned, there are some texts. For example, the first Syriac text after Islam that we have is an account of 637. It talks about some struggles between conquerors and Christians, and it says that the leader of this conquest was Muhammad. So they were the followers of Muhammad. For example, the name of Muhammad is mentioned in that special account. And it is the first Syriac text that the name of Prophet is mentioned. And other thing, for example, in the Chronicle of 640, in the Chronicle of Khuzestan especially, there are many references to Kaaba, to prayer, to Medina, to Imam Ali, for example. There are some references, but we don't expect that every detail of Islamic beliefs and Islamic law is mentioned here. Why? Because the inhabitants of the conquered territory was mostly Christians. As you know, Arabs did not go in these cities to inhabit there. They lived in camps beside cities. So the special reference to Islam or Muslim beliefs is not expected in the very early decades. But after that, little by little, we see some references to Islam, to Quran. And in another article, I criticize the view of Nebo and Quran on Quran. In that article, you can find special references to Quran, and I proved there that the references to the Quran in the Syriac sources is actually very similar to the very Quran of this time.
Yeah, thank you. But it is very wonderful that why in the Syriac sources is not the name of Quran and the Prophet Muhammad, because when we see it is the, we can say, the major and the most important we can say event at that time is Islam and the emergence of Islam, and the one who is we can say claim that I bring a religion by the name of Islam. So in the Syriac sources it should be lot of the name of Muhammad and the also the Quran and so forth and so on. Why it is not you give us something about the reason that, but it is very wonderful for me at least.
There is a famous theory for late antiquity that says that the tribal identity and religious of the people was merged together in that time, late antiquity. So when they called Tayyai, according to this theory, when they called Arabs as Tayyai, it was also a kind of reference to their religion. So they didn't distinguish between religion and tribal identity. So they didn't need any special thing to say that they are Muslims. By saying they are Tayyai, they refer to their religion as well. And as mentioned, the account of 637 is very old, and you see the name of the prophets there. Yes, Quran is mentioned later, and it can have very different reasons, which is discussed in my other article. Yes.
They don't tell the truth. Maybe they are lying because their culture and their identity is damaged by Islam, so we don't accept them to tell the truth.
Yes, it was an answer. But they could say they have this Quran, but it is compiled of Christian sources, for example, as Arabs said. Yes. But in the very first decades, they didn't even mention the Quran. So it has other reasons. We can find some reasons, but I don't know whether.
Some of them say that Quran is a compilation of Jesus.
Yes, but it is a later falsification. Yes, not in the first decades.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Hello. Thank you, Mr. Sultani. It was really good, and I'm really appreciative about the wonderful article. I have a question. In fact, I have two questions about your topic. At first, when we want to talk about history, I think it's better to concentrate about history, not about the religion. I think it's better at first. In fact, I'm asking about something that I don't know. I don't want to criticize the topic or anything about that. I'm asking to know about that. When you want to talk about history, in fact, you must improve the sentences, not to say something about that they were Christians and we cannot rely on them. I think this is the main point that we must, improve something that we show to us. What is the problem when they were, maybe they were Christians? It is all right. Maybe they were honest. And I think this is the main point that we must do. Be more careful about this. And the last one is Hampi. Maybe I was late because of that. I couldn't understand what you said. In fact, but you talked about the usage of Hampi, and I couldn't understand the which usage were more, in fact, usable at that time. And I'm asking about the usage of Hanpi at that time. And we appreciate if you explain it more. Thank you, Mrs.
Thank you very much. The polemic nature of Christian sources, some Christian sources, is mentioned not only by me, but by Westerners. So it is the nature of the source that determine whether we can rely on it or not. Maybe even Muslim sources, some Muslim sources are not reliable because this kind of nature. So we don't say because they are Christian they lie. No, because the text has a kind of polemic nature. For example, in some Syriac text, you see a conversation between a Christian and a Muslim, and in every sentence the Muslim character accepts the argument of the Christian character. So it is clear that this kind of text is trying to prove the authenticity of his religion, and it is not a historical text. Mm-hmm. It's a polemic text. So the nature of text determine whether we can rely on it or not, or in some aspects we can rely or not. The other question regarding the usage of term Hanpi. Hanpi in Syriac means pagans. It is true. I didn't deny this fact. The first meaning and the real meaning of Hanpi is actually pagans. But my concern was that whether this kind of usage in those texts was to refer to Arabs as real pagans or not. You know, in texts with polemical nature, when you call your addressee as pagan, it may have the real meaning or it may have a polemic meaning. By pagan, as I mentioned, there are some evidences that Christians called other dominations of Christianity as pagans. They were Christians, but others called them pagans, not because they were not monotheists, but because they were not of true faith. According to them, the followers of other religions, even if they are monotheists, are pagans, because they don't have true faith.
Mr. Donovan, please, if you have any questions.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. Actually, this topic is not closely related to Syriac text, but it is not lying. We can say this claim that Islam is expanded by sword is based on the very encounter of Christianity and Islam. As you see in these Syriac texts, which are contemporary to early conquests, they know Muslims as conquerors. So they didn't have enough time to actually examine their beliefs or their ideology. Maybe it is the most important reason for claiming such things. But Syriac text, especially the early Syriac text, do not talk very much about the expansion of Islam based on their beliefs or not. In some Syriac texts you can see, for example, as I mentioned in the conversation between church fathers and Heraclius, they say, Heraclius asked why these Arab were victorious, and they answered because they abandoned idolatry. So this effect of belief in the victory of conquerors is mentioned, but there are not any special details. One of the problems of the non-Muslim sources is exactly this problem. Details of the history of Islam is not mentioned there. There are just some references, some short references to Islam or to some Muslims. But in Islamic history, you can see extensive details. Sorry for not answering completely.
The other one, please. Mr. Remy, please.
It's very difficult to talk about the first conquests. You know, the first conquest in its very early phase was primitive conquest. So regarding to my topic, it is difficult to say whether they were defensive or primitive.
The other questions?
Thank you very much for your nice presentation. It was perfect. I really enjoyed your talking. I have a question about these two people. Nivo, if I just pronounced correctly, and you know, Koren. What did they believe in? What kind of religion did they had? And also, just talk about their characteristics or maybe features they had. I want you to just get more information about these two people. Thank you very much.
I do apologize for not introducing Nevo and Koren at the beginning. It was a very good question. Sorry for that. Nevo was an archaeologist. Both of them are Israeli. Yehuda Nevo was an archaeologist whose survey in the south of occupied Palestine was very famous, and there are many articles and books published by him in this regard. After these surveys, he concluded that Islam has a gradual development. So with his assistant Yudit Koren, they tried to reconstruct the early history of Islam in this book. So Yudit Koren was not a specialist in history or in archaeology, but Yehuda Nevo was an archaeologist. And one criticism of other Orientalists regarding this book is that it is not written by a specialist in Islamic history. It is a book of an archaeologist. They should be Jews, I think. There are not very details of their life in internet, so I didn't find any. And even in the reviews on these books, I didn't find any special details of their life or their tendencies toward something special. The book is published in 2003. Yes. Yehuda Nevo died in 1992, I think. But after that, Yudit Koren completed the book and published it.
Yes. Any question? No. I would like to ask you my question. Would you like? Yeah. The discrimination, the term discrimination as the keyword, and the legal slaughter in Islam. In the beginning of Islam, slaughter for the pilgrims, and for Muslims was valued. And this is a critical point of Nevo and Kanu. If you correct, okay.
Pilgrimage to Mecca? Or
yes, to Mecca. And they say that strangled lamp, that means Haruf Makhnuq, the local Arabic. Yes. Yeah, this is a mistaken or is true? This argument for opposing Islam and
strangled lamb is prohibited in Christianity from the very beginning of New Testament texts. So you can see the prohibition of this in the letters of actually apostles. So it is not special to Muslims. And other Christian denominations also prohibited it. So it cannot be a good argument that they don't talk about Muslims or talk about Muslims. It's the same in Islam and Christianity.
But the one book I read, the book of Al-Aql al-Arabi, discrimination in this book was very clear. This discrimination is not an opposed argument against Islam teachings. Discrimination of Arabs. Nowadays, Arabs and Ajam, you see there is. And discriminations, there is discrimination nowadays.
Yes.
How did you say?
Actually, Abid al-Jaberi, you talk about.
Yes.
The book of Abid al-Jaberi. It talks about Arabs in general and the thought of Arab and their philosophical mind or other topics. In this article, we didn't go through those topics. We just wanted to know whether Arabs were Muslims or the Prophet of Islam was actually a historical character from the very beginning of Islam, or as Nevo and Koran claimed, a Prophet was forged later, at the time of Abdul Malik, for example. So this kind of topics of Arabs' mind, Al-Aql al-Arabi or other thing, I didn't find any relation to this topic. But if you can help me to actually find some relationship between these two topics, I would appreciate it.
Yes, against Islam, his argument protects discrimination of Arabs, Muslims, Arabs in general. Nowadays, we can see their discrimination. If you agree on me in this position or not?
I said this is not related to the topic, as I think. So it can be discussed in another session, whether this discrimination is there or not. I think the topic is not going through this kind of issues.
Yes, you've just spoken in your article discrimination of Arab discrimination, I think.
Discrimination? I didn't realize what do you mean by discrimination here.
Discrimination, for example, after Abdul Malik. Uh-huh. After Abdul Malik, the conquerors of Islam, of early Islam,
uh-huh.
They had discriminations and they didn't have knowledge of Islam and
yes.
Quranic sciences.
Before that?
Yes.
Before Abdul Malik?
Before Abdul Malik or after Emir and John and you?
Yes.
You gave the example
it is
for
claimed,
this?
Yes.
Yes. It is not true?
I said there are many arguments against this claim, especially what Mr. Alizadeh asked and I answered. There are some Syriac texts that talk about Islamic religion, Islamic thought and laws before Abdul Malik and even before the Islamic and Arabic revolution by Abdul Malik. So we cannot claim that Syriac Christians didn't know anything about Islam before Abdul Malik.
Thank you very You're much.
Welcome.
To finish this interesting session, really very useful for us, inshallah. In the next session, we would be at your presence, inshallah. With other topics and
subjects.